Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together this morning on this beautiful day that the Lord has made to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to remind everyone to share a few announcements. The Presbyterian Women's Fall Gathering will be on November the 12th at 10 a.m. And again, we've announced this before, but I think it's important for you to note that Alice Hughes will be the speaker for the Presbyterian Women. Alice Hughes was once a member of Olney Presbyterian Church. She is an elder in the Presbytery of Philadelphia, but she will be here to discuss the importance of wills and health care decision making and estate planning and all of those very important subjects that we sometimes don't think about until we need to really be confronted by them. So she will be here. She is a lawyer. She does a great her practice involves those kinds of things. And so please make it a point to come to hear her. If you have any questions or need any help in that area, she'll be more than happy to entertain you in that regard. But again, it's going to be November 12th at 10 a.m. Alice will be speaking at around 11 a.m., so please mark that down on your calendar. Also, another thing to be looking forward to, on November the 20th, we will be having our pre-Thanksgiving dinner. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be November the 20th. So please mark that down on your calendar as well. Just want to take this opportunity to say thank you for all of those who participated in our gatherings yesterday, for all the women who took the time to clean the kitchen that was in, definitely needed to be cleaned. So we give God thanks for their labors of love yesterday morning. And of course, we thank everyone who came and participated in our Fall Fest, our Taste of Olney. We had a lot of delicious dishes that people took the time to bring, and you know, I was really stuffed leaving. I thought that maybe there would just be enough for everyone to get a taste, but people really went out of their way, and I had three or four plates before it was all over. But thank everyone for that wonderful time that we had yesterday. The Lord gave us and blessed us with a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day to be out and a beautiful day to be together, to fellowship, to talk with each other, and to share a meal. So we give God thanks for that.
Good morning again. Our scripture reading, our first scripture reading this morning, is an epistle reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. It's found in page 1038 and 1039 in your pew Bibles, and it's also in the bulletin. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant from David, as preached in my gospel, the gospel for which I am suffering and wearing fetters like a criminal. But the word of God is not fettered. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation in Jesus Christ with its eternal glory. The saying is sure: if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and charge them before the Lord to avoid disputing about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
Our second reading today will come from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. We'll be reading from chapter 29, beginning at verse 1, then skipping down through verse 4 and reading through verse 7. It is found on page 676 and 7 of your Pew Bible. So this time let us again listen to God's word for us. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city, for I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
We're always reminded that every time we read the Bible, we are reading somebody else's mail. That's true in all the Bible, especially in our Old Testament text this morning. It's a word that the prophet Jeremiah is writing to his fellow Judeans. We've already had occasion to talk about the prophet Jeremiah earlier. He was often called a prophet of doom because of his words of judgment. But as we've seen a few weeks ago, he could also be a prophet of hope, speaking words of hope to God's people. But even when he spoke words of hope to his people, and in many respects, the words perhaps seem out of place, because the prophet is telling them to be happy, to build houses, to plant gardens, to get married, to raise families, to give their children away in marriage, to eat, to drink, to be merry. And again, wonderful words to give to someone from the Lord, but the only problem is that they are in Babylon. The people are exiles deep in Babylon. The Babylonians have destroyed their world. They have destroyed Jerusalem. They have destroyed the temple, God's house. They have carried the people away as captives deep down inside of Babylon, where there are strange people, strange customs, people speaking strange languages, worshiping strange gods. It's a total catastrophe. All of it foretold by the prophet Jeremiah himself. But it's in the midst of this catastrophe that the prophet comes again speaking words from the Lord, the words we heard this morning. Jeremiah, of course, wasn't the only prophet speaking words of hope to the people of Judah in Babylon, the exiles there. There were other prophets, but they were fake prophets, prophets who were saying that the catastrophe, the exile, would not last long, would only last 2 years, is what the prophet Hananiah told everyone. 2 years, and it would be over. 2 years, and the yoke of Babylon would be broken. Wonderful words of hope. If you're inclined towards that, I think if I would have been there, I'd have been very open to that wonderful word of hope. 2 years. The only problem was that it was not true. But even the prophet Jeremiah was taken in by it, or almost was taken in by it, until the word of the Lord came to him and told him to tell the people the truth. The exile would not be just 2 years. It will not be 10 years, it will not be 20 years, but the exile will be 70 years. 70 years the people were going to be in Babylon. And so the word of the Lord from the prophet is to build houses, plant your gardens, look forward to your grandchildren, settle in, because they're going to be there for a while. I lived in Germany for 3 years, courtesy of Uncle Sam many years ago. Nothing against Germany, it's a beautiful country. The people of Germany are wonderful people. The food in Germany, wonderful food. I could eat it all day, every day. But still, it wasn't home. I really didn't want to be there, and so I had this deep desire to get back to the States, deep desire to get back to a place that I was familiar with. I wanted to go home. And so I can only imagine what these Judeans in Babylon, these exiles, must have been thinking. Here they are being told that they are going to be in Babylon for 70 years. Some of them will not even ever again see their land. They will never again see Jerusalem. They will never again see the temple. And it doesn't sound very hopeful to me. But I think there's a couple of things that the prophet wants the people to understand, wanted the people understand, and what the prophet wants us to understand here as well. And one is that there is no situation, no experience, no place that is so dark, so catastrophic, so seemingly God-forsaken that God is not there. There's no place that God is not experienced, cannot be experienced. God goes with God's people, even in exile. God is present with God's people in the midst of everything that happens. God is present in all the Babylons that we experience. God is present in hospital rooms. God is present in courtrooms. God is present in the midst of war and devastation and destruction. As the psalmist says, there is no place that we could go that God is not with us. No place that we can go, nothing that we can do that can separate us from God's loving presence. And that's what the prophet Jeremiah wants the Israelites to understand as they are there in Babylon. The Apostle Paul, of course, understood that. As we heard in our reading, our epistle reading this morning, Paul is in prison. He's in jail. He is suffering for the sake of the gospel. And yet Paul knows that God's word is not, cannot be chained. He knows that even in the midst of that circumstance, that God is with him. And so the prophet wants his people to know that even in God-forsaken Babylon, that God is there. Salvation can even be in a God-forsaken place like Babylon. And that's what God wants us to know as well. Secondly, I think the prophet wants us to understand that just because something takes a long time, it doesn't mean that God is not moving and working in the midst of events. Sometimes things just take a long, long time to work out. Sometimes we human beings have such a short horizon. If something doesn't happen quickly enough, we get discouraged. I know people who work on all kinds of issues that they want to eradicate, and they do good work, but sometimes when they don't see enough movement, they become discouraged. But God's timetable is not our timetable. Sometimes God works slowly. God's people were enslaved in Egypt 400 years before the Lord liberated them. God's people had to wander 40 years in the wilderness before they were taken into the promised land. Sometimes things take a while, because God, after all, has to work through us human beings, us flawed human beings. but God is moving in our midst. It just doesn't happen on the time frame that we would like it to happen. And yet we are called to settle in for the long haul. Nothing worth doing can be achieved in a single life, is what the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once said. And therefore we are saved by hope. Hope that keeps us looking forward to the future. Hope that keeps us to our task. Hope that keeps us open to the will of God. We are people who are called to live by hope. As Dan McClendon said, living in exile, far from home, in a strange space or place, bereft of all one considers good and familiar, is difficult. Living in exile demands revised expectations. It demands courage to believe that God is still at work, no matter how bleak the circumstances might be. So just because something takes a long, long time, it doesn't mean that God is not moving. I know that for many of us right now, it appears that we too are in exile. We live in a world that where we no longer understand the language that is being spoken around us by many of our contemporaries. They seem to speak a language that we don't understand. Increasingly, we find ourselves living in the midst of a land where people exhibit values that we don't share. And indeed, we live in a land where people worship all kinds of gods that we don't recognize. Used to be when I was growing up, our Gideon friends, when I was growing up, you could be sure to find a Bible. And if you were in a motel or a hotel somewhere, you knew that one thing was a certainty. There was going to be a Bible in somewhere in the room, in the cabinet, left by the Gideons, part of their work. Now, of course, many people don't even know what a Bible is. Very few people have read it, but it's just a kind of the signs of the times. We live in exile. We live in a land where people no longer are familiar with the ways of God, and it's as if we are in exile. And yet, this is where God has called us to labor. This is where God has called us to be. I like what the prophet tells his fellow Judeans. He tells them to pray. He tells them to pray and to work for the welfare of the city in which he has sent them. Pray for the welfare of Babylon. That the word for welfare, the Hebrew word there, is shalom, which means peace. Pray for the peace of Babylon. Isn't that a remarkable word from the Lord? To pray for these people, to pray for these pagans, to pray for these godless people who have devastated Jerusalem, who have torn down the temple, who have carried you away into captivity, to pray for them and to work for their wholeness and their peace. Because it's in the peace of the city of Babylon that God's people will find their peace, their shalom. their welfare. You know, we are not in the midst of our society called to engage in culture wars. We are indeed resident aliens. We are indeed people who are exiled. But we are called to work. We are called to continue the work that God has set us to do, continue to work in the midst of this city, the work that we do here at Alney Presbyterian Church all the time. We are continued to call to work for the good of this community, to work for the good of this neighborhood, to work for the good of the people of Philadelphia. We are called to work for the peace and the shalom and the welfare of this city. Even when it seems like our efforts do not pay off, even when it seems like it seems a long time coming before we realize anything, we are called to work because God is in our midst. God goes with us in the midst of the world. And so we are called to make God known in the midst of our city and in the midst of our world. The prophet, a few verses down, says something else that's remarkable. He says, "For God knows the plans that God has. I know the plans I have for you, plans of welfare and not for evil. It's to give you a future and a hope." It's remarkable that God's plans for God's people, even after they go into Babylonian captivity, even as they have been destroyed, Jerusalem has been destroyed, even as they will spend years and years in Babylonian captivity, God says, "I've got a plan for you. And my plan is not a plan for evil. My plan is a plan to bring you peace. My plan is a plan to give you a future. My plan is a plan to bring you hope." And that's what God has for all of us, a future. No matter where you might find yourself this morning, no matter what kind of difficulty you might be experiencing, no matter what kind of Babylon you might be living through, God has a plan for you, for me, for Alney Presbyterian Church. God has a plan for God's people. It's a plan that nothing can shut down. Sickness cannot shut it down. Not even the power of death can shut down God's plan for you and for me, and indeed for all of God's people. God has a plan to give us a future. But in the meantime, the word of the Lord is for us to settle in, to be prepared for the long haul, to build houses and to raise families and to raise grandchildren and to do God's work. Do God's work in the midst of the city, in the midst of the world, in the midst of whatever Babylon God has set us in. To do God's work, because God's future will one day prevail. God's future of love and justice and peace, that future will one day prevail. And you and me and all of God's people. can rejoice even now. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning asking for your grace and mercy to be with all of your people. We pray for all of us again, and we pray especially for Ephemi this morning, and we pray that as she receives her care, that she will be fine. We pray for all of us too, for you know what is going on inside of all of our hearts. You know the Babylons that we all experience. Help us to know that our lives are vouchsafed in your loving care. Help us to know that you love us very, very much. Help us to know that you are our future. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.